There's a promise in the Bible, God's precious holy word, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And today I claim that promise, trusting Him for peace of mind. He's the God that through the ages has stood the test of time.
What a blessed assurance to know I'm His and He's mine. What a sweet consolation when He tells me I'm His child. How could I ever doubt it? The mountains get too hard to climb. He's the God of all mountains. He stood the test of time.
Through this world's fierce raging battle, I will trust Him more and more. I dare not take one step without Him till this fleeting life is o'er. For that hand that holds tomorrow, that same hand is placed in mine. Praise His name throughout the ages, God stood the test of time.
What a blessed assurance to know I'm His and He's mine. What a sweet consolation when He tells me I'm His child. How could I ever doubt it? The mountains get too hard to climb. He's the God.
When I look at my life and what I've been given, my family and friends, all the blessings from heaven, the Father above has lovingly showered on me. I feel overwhelmed and so undeserving to think of His goodness and wonderful mercy. My heart fills with praise, and I can't help but joyfully sing.
I have God to thank for everything, the battles I've fought and the victories I've seen. He has God, I needed along the way. But most of all, He saved my soul. He promised me heaven. I'm ready to go. I have God to thank, and forever I'll praise His name.
It's not that this road has always been easy, but He's been faithful, and He'll never leave me. I find sweet peace and assurance within His word. My cup's overflowing, I'm living in favor, abundant provision from the hand of the Savior. I lift my voice, and forever I'll praise His name.
I have God to thank for everything.
I'm here to glorify God and lift Him up. If you walk out of this place and say, Dwayne Sands, you missed the mark. If you're praising God and glorifying God and God's got you and you're closer to God, if you're lost and undone, you get saved tonight, I've accomplished what God sent me over here for. John chapter 11. If you would, I'm just going to read one verse. If you'll stand for the reverence of God's holy, undefiable Word of God, ever settled in heaven, it is for us to live by and apply to our hearts, and is still the book. Amen. Verse number 1 says this, Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Father, as we bow before the throne of grace, Lord, as humble as we know how, God, if there's anything in our life that's not under the blood, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, You'll reveal it where I can get it under the blood. God, I pray, Lord, as a willing vessel behind this sacred desk, I pray, God, that You'll fill me with the words from heaven above, not my opinions, theories, or thoughts, but what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray for Brother Brian. I pray for his ministry here at Faith Baptist Church. Lord, I pray, God, for this church. God, You'll send souls for its labor. Lord, but we stand in time of need. Hide us behind the old rugged cross. May You be glorified and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to be in the entire book of John chapter 11. Don't panic. I'm getting old. I don't preach long anymore. Amen. The back gives out. The voice gives out. I'm just going to get to the point. But in John chapter number 11, we find some characters that I want to concentrate on tonight and bring you a message on the disease of doubting. The disease of doubting. The Bible says that a man by the name of Lazarus got sick. His sisters believed that God, the Lord Jesus, could do something for his brother if he come immediately. The Bible says they done the right thing. They sent for Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. That's where we need to be running. Running straight to Jesus. Not doctors, not Dr. Phil or some witch or something like that, need to run to Jesus instead of running to all that mess first. Amen. Run to Jesus. Somebody said, well, can I walk? No, it's urgent. Run to Jesus. Yep. Well, they believed. They knew that Jesus could do something for them. So what do? They send forth. But Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 11, the Bible says Jesus said when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death. He said, we're just going to wait here a couple more days. You see, Jesus don't work on mine and your time. He works on his time. Amen. There was something there that he still needed to continue doing. Can I tell you something? You need to wait and be patiently upon the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of God move. Sometimes we get in a rush and we jump out of the will of God. I've been there, done that. Amen. Sometimes we just need to wait patiently upon the Lord. But let's move on in John chapter 11. The Bible says he waited 2 days and then he said, let us go, that I may awaken Lazarus. Well, his disciples already didn't understand. The first thing they thought of was, Lord, if we go back there, we're going to get stoned to death. He said, the last time we were here, they wanted to stone you. He said, we must go. Well, the Bible says, as the disciples said, Thomas there, he said, well, I tell you what, let's just go with him and be stoned to death. We'll die with him. The disciples already doubted what Jesus had done. Then we come up, Jesus starts on the outskirts of Bethany. The Bible says that Jesus was coming up and Martha heard. Ain't you glad? Thank God you heard about Jesus one day. Hallelujah. Bible says she run to him, and I want you to watch something right here. She runs to him. She doesn't say, hey, Jesus, hey, Lord, I love you. Thank you for everything. She said, if you would have been here, my brother had not gotten sick. There's doubt number three. He said, Martha, don't worry. This sickness is not unto death. He's going to rise. Martha said, I know Jesus. I know he's going to rise in the resurrection. He said, if you would only believest. And the Bible says she doubted. Then he started a little bit closer. Then Mary heard about him. And she come running, bowed to his feet. We know Mary, she's bowed before his feet. But one time she anointed him with oil and she washed him off with her hair. Said the exact same thing Martha did. If thou would have beenest here, my brother had not gotten sick. If. That's doubting. He said, don't you worry about a thing. He said, where'd you lay him? Now, I don't have Bible for this, but I believe it to be true in my heart. It's my opinion. I believe when he said, where did you lay him? Mary said, I'll take you. I believe she grabbed him by the hand. Lord, have mercy. How many times have I been in a dark cloud somewhere and the Lord Jesus just grabbed my hand, squeeze it right good, and he says, everything's going to be all right. Well, they take him where Lazarus laid. Lord, they'd already gave up, shoved him in a cave, put a rock in front of it. Jesus said, roll that stone away. First thing Martha done was doubt again. Lord, he's been in there 4 days. He probably stinks. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. That's redneck Stokes County terminology. I'm sorry. I'm not a dignified preacher. That's probably why I don't get invited out much, because I'm not dignified. I don't run with the clique. I don't shake somebody's back and scratch my back and scratch yours. I'm going to preach the Word of God if I have to preach to my wife every day. Amen. She needs it. Love you, baby. He stinketh, Lord. He said, Martha, if thou would just believe. He says, Lazarus, come forth. We know why he called him by name. If he said, dead man, come walking, everybody in the world would have rose up. And the Bible says that Lazarus come out of that tomb. Now, he already been wrapped with grave clothes, a napkin in his mouth, and fragrance already applied to him, tied. Now, I believe he come like this. You can believe he walked like this or whatever you want. I don't care. But I believe he stumbled like this right here. And when he got on the outskirts of that, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Then he said, take that stuff off and loosen him. Now, I want you to catch something right here in the last part of that verse. They believed. Now, earlier in John chapter 11, Jesus already told his disciples that God may get glorified out of this. And the Bible says they believed. Mission accomplished. Do you know that's the only reason I'm here tonight? Is for you to believe. But I want to tell you something. This thing of doubting is serious business. This thing of doubting hurts us in the things of God. In John chapter 11, we see a disease of doubting. This problem and its effects on our churches, on our staff meetings, on our deacons' meetings, doubting on our pastors, doubting on the believers. Honey, I want to tell you something. You don't need to be a doubting on nobody. Amen. It's a disease in our church. It's affecting our church. It's affecting the Christian doubt. Listen, I want to tell you something. Biden don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, he don't have one. He's worse than I am. He can't tell a joke and remember the joke, and he'll tell 10 jokes and you still don't know what's funny. I hope y'all wrote that down, because I'll never be able to remember that again. Amen. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican. I want to tell you something. Joe Biden's a mess. I'm preaching in a church, I reckon. I told somebody the other day, you can't be a Christian and believe in abortion. Well, guess what? I won't get invited to that church no more, and I really don't care. Abortion's murder. Amen. Teach them children to be pure until the day they find the person that they're going to marry and love forever. What happened to that teaching? I'll tell you what happened to that teaching. We let the Xbox and the PlayStation take over mama and daddy, and all we want to be is their friend. You can't be a friend and a parent. Give it up. That ain't part of the message. I just thought it would. The disease of doubting. I see some things in John chapter 11 that I've never seen in my lifetime. God revealed this to me. I want to give you just six things, and I promise you, in 15 more minutes and I'm done. This is the disease of doubting the following things. We doubt, as Christians, we doubt the capability of God. We doubt it. But we believed it. We got saved just like Martha. She believed that if Jesus was there, he wouldn't have been sent. But she forgot about the capability of God. What is the capability of God? Everything. He said, you have a little bit of faith of a mustard seed, and I'll put a lot in it, and we'll move them out. We doubt the capability of God. Can God bless our church? Yes, if you want it. Can God bless our pastor? Yes, if you pray for him. Amen. We forgot about the capability of what God can do. Do you understand the God you serve is not dead? He's alive forevermore. And he's sitting on the right hand side of the Father taking intercession for you and me. We forgot about the capability of God that can rain fire down from heaven and burn up an offering. We forgot about the God that took a man by with his sword, with his shepherd's hook and bowed it down, and the waters parted hither and hither. We forgot about the capability of God that God can lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's my God. Don't you ever doubt the capability of God. He saved your soul. He didn't save you to put you on a shelf. He saved you to witness and work. Amen. We doubt the capability of God. I get so sick and tired, and I know that's not a dignified way to say it, but I get so sick and tired of people saying, well, we can't have a revival like you used to. Why can't we? I'll tell you why we can't. Because nobody's getting on their knees and praying for it. Amen. I like revival. I'd go to church 7 days a week if I could. Now we got Facebook, Facebook Live. Lord, I'm listening to Brother Brian. I'm sitting there going, amen, amen. He don't hear a word I'm saying. But I shout him down.
Amen.
We forgot about the capability of God. Martha and Mary forgot about the capability of God. The disciples forgot about the capabilities of God. We as a church cannot forget the capability of God.
Amen.
Don't ever say that person can't get saved. As long as it's got breath, it may not be mine and your standards, but God can still save it.
Amen.
I know it's hard to turn the other cheek. Trust me. About 6 months ago, my wife and my children kept telling my wife, something's wrong with Daddy. He's not Daddy. I finally gave in. An episode happened. I said, there's something wrong with me. I prayed and I went to the doctor. He said, Dwayne, we need to do some tests. And he come back and he said, Dwayne, I hate to tell you this, but you're bipolar. And he said, if you don't go on some medication where we can get this under control, you're heading for destruction. I'm so glad that God gave man capability of knowing what medicine we need. Some people say, well, I wouldn't take no medicine. Well, I'll tell you what, you go ahead and don't take it. I'm going to take it. And I still believe in the capabilities of God. When I walked out in October, the 1st of October, when I resigned Faith Baptist Church, God said resign it. I didn't know what God had planned, and now He's put us into full-time evangelists. I told my wife on the way, I said, praise God, we ain't dependent on that, or we'd starve to death. You'll catch you at about 2 o'clock going down the road. We forgot about the capability of God. But not only that, we forgot the heart of God. We have forgot the heart of God. The Bible says when He saw Mary and Martha and the tears flowing, the Bible says He wept. We have forgot. We doubt the heart of God. God wants us to succeed. God wants to see people saved. God don't want nobody go to hell. He wants them all saved. We forgot about the heart of Jesus that stretched out His arms, didn't say a word, and laid on the old rugged cross while they nailed our Savior, pinned Him up, put the crown of thorns, pierced Him in the side, made fun of Him. Glad day on that third day, hallelujah, He came out of that place. The heart of God is for you to be saved. The heart of God is for you to get as close to God as you can. Amen. I like being close to God. Boy, I got two amens. We in trouble. I like getting close to God. The closer I am with God, the less I walk in the world. The closer I am with God, the less I sin. The closer I am with God, I succeed at what God wants me to do. You see, it's not my will. It's all about His will. When John was there at the table, it's His final supper. Bible says He laid His head on the chest of Jesus. He heard the heartbeat of God. I want to hear that heartbeat. Amen. I want to hear it thump. We forgot the capabilities of God. We forgot the heart of God. And there's a couple more things that I can't remember. It's pretty bad when you get old and you can't write your notes no more where you can't read them. I was going to preach a message at a church and opened up and put my outline down. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I is in trouble. I can't see. Thank God for modern technology. Amen. Word check don't like me. It says bad things about me. Amen. But I want to tell you something. We forgot about the capacity of God. Do you know what the capacity of God is? It stretches from east to west, north to south. God likes things big. He likes His children to be big. We ought to walk around like a Benny Hinn rooster. Amen. Not Benny Hinn. I was going to see if y'all was awake. But we ought to walk around like a peacock. Not our stuff, strut our stuff, but strut who we serve. And the capacity of God. Did you know this same God put the anointing oil in John chapter 11 on what's his name? The beggar at the temple there, anointed his eyes with a salve, and praise God, he opened his eyes and he could see. That's the capacity of God. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what you've got yourself into. I'm glad, thank God, the capacity of God is greater than mankind. We forgot what God can give us. The widow woman. She mind the man of God. You need to mind the man of God. I would park there, but I'm not going to. You have to get me back for again. You ought to mind the man of God. As long as he's in that book, you better be behind him, plowing and praying for him. If he's not in that book, then you might need to do something. But I know Brian Poindexter, he'll die before he goes out of that book. Amen. Brian didn't tell me to say all that. I said it on my own. If you don't like it, take it up with you later. That's what's wrong with churches today. We forgot about the capacity of God. Can I tell you something? God can fill this church. God can have people here Sunday night, Wednesday night, and fill the whole capacity of this church if we'll just get down and remember the capacity of God and what He can do for us if we'll just ask. We ought to be like little kids. These little kids around here, they don't mind asking. If you got a need, don't you ask your mom and daddy for it. And 9 times out of 10, you batting them eyes, you're going to get it. See, I already knew that. That little smile, the freckles, and the bat in them eyes, I want to give you my billfold, but I put all the money in the offering plate. I'll have to write you, I owe you. We have doubted the capacity of God. We have doubted the capability of God. We have doubted the heart of God. May God help us. May God help us to cut these diseases off in our church, behind our pulpit, in our homes, and in our lives, in our workforce. May God help us not to doubt God. We've doubted the motivation of God. That whole story on John chapter 11, Lazarus was brought back alive for one thing, and that's to glorify God. Amen. All we are here for is to glorify God. That's the only reason I witness is to glorify God. And I have a concern. If you ain't got a concern for the lost, you need to hit this altar and check up. I doubt your salvation is real. I believe you believe the religion or something. But I want to tell you something, church. We've got to quit this doubting. We've got to quit that motivation of God. Motivation of God is for us to keep marching on. Marching on. Not stop, not wither, not wait, sit on a padded pew. It's our job because our journey one day may end. Praise God, we got to remember what God can do and His motivation behind it. Not only that, but we've doubted the intentions of God. Do you know what God's intentions is for every person in this church? Is to bless you richly. He's waiting over heaven, opening heaven's door, wanting to pour blessing on you. But you have doubted the capability, the capacity, and the motivation behind what God wants you to do. What happened to our motivation? Man, I want to tell you something. I don't care if I'm late for work, which I don't work no more, so I'm late every day. I've become a house husband. I think that's what you call it. Job ain't too bad. Don't pay too good, but it ain't too bad. Just to keep her happy, I'll do anything. We're going on our first cruise. Hallelujah. We're going on our first cruise. She said, honey, why did you want a balcony? I said, one of us may fall off. And the other day, she said, I finally figured out who may fall off. And I said, who? She said, you. We're going on the first cruise, and I've already told her we're putting the phones in the safe. We're turning them off for 7 days. We need resting time. Because this journey God's got us on, this new one, I don't doubt the capacity of God. I know His motivation behind it. His motivation for me right now has changed from a heart of a pastor to a heart of a person that's going to evangelize this world, help preachers, help churches understand what God's Word says about that man of God behind that pulpit. That's my job. Church, we have got to get out of this doubting the capability, the capacity, the motivation, the intentions of God. Listen, the heart of God. What is God's intentions for your life? Plain and simple, get closer to Him. The closer I walk, the less I fall. Let me give you this last one. I'm done. I told you I couldn't preach long no more. We have doubted the control of God. Can I tell you something? I'm probably going to hurt some feelings. But God ain't forgotten nothing. God's still in control of this thing. You know why they're trying to take our guns? I believe in the Fifth Amendment. Bear arms. I got my wife. Not the Fifth Amendment. Lord, I just messed up. Second Amendment. Thank you, Brandon. You saved the preacher. I believe, praise God, I got more guns than I got food. My wife asked me, I went over to the local fire department. I know the chief over at Westfield. And I said, listen, my house catches on fire. Give it an hour. He looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, do what? I said, don't come for an hour. He said, why? I said, there's 30,000 rounds of ammunition in that house and it's going to go off. He said, how about 2 hours? I said, let her burn to the ground. We got insurance. Hey, man, I ain't going to a knife fight with a knife. I'm going with something else. You know why they're trying to take your guns? Listen, they've already shoved COVID on you. I'm not here to doubt COVID. It's real. It was there. It affected people and all that other stuff. But I want to tell you something. It was man-made. And I got enough proof to show it. You know what happened when everybody got COVID? The government got control over our churches. You say, you're crazy. I know. But I know what I'm talking about. They started shutting the doors on the church. And now they're trying to take the guns. When they take the guns, you better look out. You're going to live in a communist world. And 30% of America is dumber than a bag of rocks. Well, no. No, they said 70% in the poll this morning. 70% are against Biden. Well, 70% is against him. 30% is for him. Where in the world did the math go wrong? That's like this gay mess and transgender stuff. Now, I'll just tell you. Call me a preacher, anointing, whatever. You don't like me, you talk about me. But I want to tell you something. If you're a man and you go in a women's bathroom, my grandchild's in there, you're going to come out something. Well, Lord, I'll just be I just want to be a woman. How in the world do you come up with that stuff? Wow, I just want to be a man. I'm telling you, they're not born that way. Nope, I'll argue with you, and I got enough Bible to support that. You're not born lesbian or queer. You're not transgender by thought. You're taught that mess on that hell box, and you believe the lie. Yeah. Devil didn't want that. And now, praise God, we got children that are identifying as cats. They're toting litter boxes in the school. My grandson, he's 15 years old. He's a freshman at Mount Airy. They got two up there that identify as cats. They come out, they got the tail, the ears, and they're toting a litter box. I said, hey, and I said, I've got to ask the question. I said, yeah, you probably won't answer this. I said, what do they do with that litter box? He said, they go in the bathroom and use it. I said, you're joking me. He said, no, we got a boy who identifies as a dog. I said, what kind of litter box does he take? He said, big one. We quit parenting. Somebody said, what would you do if one come home like that? You don't want to know because I ain't got Bible to support that. But see, my children were raised right. Now, they not perfect, but I'm glad, thank God, the girls are married to a boy and the boy's married to a girl.
There you go.
Hallelujah. And all my grandchildren right now identify as what they was born with. I told one the other day, I said, I looked at him, he said, I ain't got no girlfriend. I said, you better not, praise God, have a boyfriend. He said, Papa, I ain't gay. He's being raised right. People say, well, you shouldn't make lightly on gay people. You need to calm it down behind the pulpit. I want to tell you something, God thought so much of it, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So if he did that, I'm going to preach against it until the day I die. I need to get back on track. We have doubted the control of God. Can I tell you something, church? God ain't forgot nothing. He's in control. One day, in a blink of an eye, the Bible says he's going to step out on the eastern side and say, come up hither. Until then, I got to keep marching. Church, may I encourage you, quit doubting the capability, the heart of God, the capacity of God, the motivation of God, the intentions of God, the control of God. Just get in His will. You know, I've stumbled. I've failed miserably. Sometimes God has to put you on your back to where you look. See, I thought all my enemies were surrounding me. You know, and I'm not lying, this is my second time of preaching in the house of God since October of last year. I asked God, God, if you took your anointing away, if I stumbled and become a stumbling block, I know I have failed you. I know I have failed you miserably. God, do you not want me to preach no more? If you don't, I understand. I said, but God, you've got to show me a sign to just tell me that I'm just going to be a Christian. I'm just going to walk with thee and, Lord, try to witness to people. But the anointing of preaching is gone. And then I called Brian to tell him about what God's journey was for my life. He said, what are you doing Sunday night on the 16th? I said, nothing far as I know. He said, I need you to come to the church. Boy, I lifted up hands and praised God for showing me that I still got that anointing of His call. Church, don't doubt God no more. Don't doubt Him. He's in control. Don't doubt His capacity. He owns everything. You say, well, you don't know my need. No, I don't, but I know a God that does. And I know a God that will take that need and move it.
That's right.
I believe God. We got to get this doubting out of our church. It's affecting our preachers. It's affecting the church itself. God, listen, y'all got revival this week. Brother Mark can't bring revival.
That's right.
The only one that can bring revival is God. And can I tell you something? God's only going to be where He's wanted.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You want to see, oh, listen, we just got out of Jubilee at Temple Baptist Church. I want to tell you something, one of the best Jubilees I've ever been in my life. I have never in my entire life heard that kind of preaching, the Holy Ghost moving, people getting saved, people rededicating their life, people shouting victory. Praise God, and it's a Baptist church. I got a message I preach, Chosen and Frozen. One of these days I'll preach it. Amen. Just pick it. Martha, Mary, the disciples doubted God more than one time. But guess what God done? God done everything they asked Him to do and even more. He raised their brother, gave him life again. They forgot who God was. Can I encourage you tonight, church? Don't forget who God is. I know times are rough. I know it's rough. Being a Christian is hard. I mean, it really is. Let's be honest with one another. Somebody said, how do you live the Christian life? I don't live it. God lives it through me. I can't live that Christian life without the anointing of God. And sometimes I forget who God is. And I forget what God's major thing is for me. That's to Him be lifted up and glorified and point everyone to Jesus. I looked at all these young people tonight. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brandon, I've heard from you, Pastor. You're doing a good job. And I'm proud of you and I pray for you every day. I'm not jealous of nothing. Don't doubt God no more. Maybe only one person need to hear this message. I don't know. I struggle between two messages, and that's what God turned on the iPad. And I'm just crazy enough to go with God. You may already have doubts setting in on your mind that you can't have revival this week. Have you ever noticed when you have revival, everything goes wrong? It's hard to get to church. Toilet sticks or what? Well, I mean, it's just every day. You know why that's going on? Because number one, you're a child of God. Number two, the devil wants to keep you out of this meeting. I say, let the toilet be clogged and we'll use another. That's why I put 3.5. Amen! You do your very best to come to this church. I'm coming hopefully tomorrow night. I want to hear this, Brother Mark. I've never heard him, and Brian talks highly of him. I want to come hear him preach. Y'all don't mind if I come back as long as I don't preach, right? Church, I love you. I love you. If Brian Poindexter, if God left Brian somewhere else, I'll be the first one on the front door saying, let me, Pastor. God ain't let him out, ain't going to. You might think, well, the preacher can't do his job like he used to. Maybe you're not praying like you used to. How many of us tonight, I just want to ask you this question. I'm not coming to you or nothing. I just want to see a raise of hand. Have you got something in your life you just had a little doubt about? Can I tell you something? Don't doubt God. Mary, Martha, and the disciples doubted them, but guess what? God showed them a miracle. Whatever your need is in your life, whatever you're doubting, I promise you, God can replace that doubting with faith and believe in Him. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. Amen. Notice that word all. Now, it took me 12 years of high school and 5 years of getting a bachelor's degree in theology to figure out that, praise God, that means, you know, praise God, immediately. Replace that doubt with faith. Believe that God can move your mountain. Believe God can supply that very need. Believe that physically, if you got a physical ailment, God can supply that need. God will give you grace to face what you're facing, and He'll also supply the need. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Maybe it's a financial burden. Can I tell you something? Now, I'm not being a hen. Don't send me a letter wanting some holy water for me to send to you and you're going to get a miracle. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to go to the local store, buy a bottle of water and pour it in there. Praise God, He's making a killing off that. $5 a bag. Yeah, hallelujah. I got a case of it. Want one? I'm joking. There's only one holy, and that's God Himself. Yeah. All of you raise your hands. I want to tell you something tonight. I've been where you're at. Whew, I'm unemployed. Hardest thing I ever done. God said, it's time, son. Then about 3 months ago, I was on the altar at temple praying, God, I need to know something. Hello, up there. I need you. Bills have got to be paid. I'm unemployed. You told me to resign. What do you want me to do? He said, this is what I want you to do. And little old doubting me, I said, are you crazy? People's not going to let me preach. Maybe a select few. Ain't no way. God said, you let me open the doors and you'll be all right. You just go where I tell you to go. I hoped He opened the doors of that Methodist church right up the road. I was going to stop and preach to them for a little while, amen? I'm glad I'm a Baptist. Amen. But God found me before the Baptist did. Whatever you're doubting tonight, God sent Dwayne Sands as Brother Brian comes and pianist, whoever closes the services out the way Brian does. God sent me from Pilot Mountain, North Carolina to tell you something. And that was to tell you quit doubting. Remember the capabilities of God. Remember the capacity of God. Remember the heart of God. Remember His motivation. Remember His intentions. And remember His command. He'll supply your need tonight. I was sent not all the way over here, but a distance. To tell you, church, I love you. If I leave tonight and go home to glory, I just want you to know I love you. Yes, I've stumbled along the way. Yes, I've made mistakes in my life. But I'm glad God is a forgiving God. Amen. Somebody asked me, I can't remember, if we're still racing. No, because God said it was time to give it up. Hardest thing I've ever done, you can ask my wife after church, racing runs in this blood. I started driving pro stock drag cars when I was 15 years old. But God said, you're getting a little too much in the world. This is dragging you away from me. You got to give it up. I'm glad I did. Because I walked closer with God. Church, don't doubt Him no more.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service. And every second Sunday night of each month, we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, In verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.